Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth Radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea. And although we are not live, once again, we're very close to it. Today is July the 9th, the year of our Lord 2020. So you know that everything we'll be discussing today is fresh, it's new, it's timely, because everything is moving at the speed of sound, apparently. There's a new story, there's a new twist, there's a new wrinkle and a new ripple, pretty much every news cycle. So there's just too much to discuss, too much to hone in on, too much to bore down into. Because it's always changing, the target's always changing, but there are certain things that we can be anchored in, which is truth and the Word of God and the promises of Jesus to those who would deny themselves and follow Him. Now, before we get into the program for today, I would like to mention something. This is not one of those faux commercials that I like to do at the beginning of the program. So this is actually real. It's so just bear that in mind. I will be providing content. I will be speaking at the Go Therefore conference, which unless you're living under a rock or in a cave, you know that, you know, everyone's still in upheaval. And everyone's still overly concerned as far as, you know, state government about the coronavirus, even though survivability rate is around 99.2%. But my good friend, Dr. Mike Spaulding, is putting on a conference. It's called the Go Therefore Conference. The lineup of speakers is truly extraordinary. I've had the privilege of sharing a stage with some of these brothers. There's going to be a lot of good stuff. There's going to be a lot of meat. So if you would like to stream it online, it's from July 24th through the 25th. And you can go to gothereforeconference.com. That is gothereforeconference.com, and you can sign up get fed. I think there is an undeniable lack of meat, I guess is the best way I can put it. There's an undeniable lack of truth that is being it's obvious. It's being witnessed by young and old alike, and with these draconian measures of shutting down churches, of not letting people sing in church, of kids who should have gotten their behinds spanked when they were young, protesting in front of churches now. I don't know if you've seen the videos. I don't know if you've seen what's happening. But now the Antifa folk, if you want to call them that, they're commies. They're Marxists, they're Leninists, whatever you want to call them. And we'll get into that too, because remember in the way back machine, back in the early 90s, when a certain Romanian guy was touring the country and he was talking about a communist resurgence in America and how the communists would begin an internal revolution. Some people, I could see the smirks on their faces. I could see them rolling their eyes because they thought, Once Ronald Reagan gave his famed speech, you know, tear down this wall, then all the communists went away. There has always been a communist contingent within these United States. There has always been a communist contingent biding their time, recruiting young people because, well, you know, young people are more malleable as far as ideology than people who have families and homes and jobs and, you know, like America. What we fail to understand, and I've tried to make this point over and over again, whether through my writings or through this radio program, is that there are people within this country that were born in this country that have been taught to hate this country. They despise it and everything it stands for, and their only desire, their singular purpose, is the destruction of this country. You have elected officials now coming out and saying we must dismantle the whole system. You heard it right, the whole system. And I understand that some Christians go, well, that has nothing to do with us. It doesn't concern us. Want to bet? See, that's what some thought when communism rose up in places like Romania and in Russia. They thought, hey, you know, that's a political thing. They're going to leave the churches alone. They're going to leave the Christians alone. You have a current example of what a communist dictatorship does. Is China leaving the churches alone, kids? Is China leaving the Christians alone? Do they get a pass? Is it all about politics and about the political structure? You have to understand that if these people gain power, the church will be in their sight. If these people gain power, the church will be seen as an enemy and a detriment to their utopia. I've said this before, and I will continue repeating it because apparently some of us aren't getting it. The reason that communism cannot coexist with Christianity and the church is because communism wants to be the only one offering hope of any kind. And they realize that the hope they offer is so bleak. The hope they offer is next to nothing. It's equality of misery is what they're offering. And if the church comes along and they offer hope in Christ and they offer eternal life, if the church comes along and says you can have joy in spite of your circumstances, that is something that communists, tyrants, that is something that communist dictatorships don't want to contend with. Because people who have hope will not be subjugated. People who have hope won't bow the knee and bow their head and go along and trudge along until the fateful day their heart explodes in their chest. Hope is the enemy of every totalitarian regime. And this is why the church will be in their sights. This is why they will come against the household of faith ferociously, if ever they get any sort of power. You have elected officials now. The representative from Michigan and the representative from Minnesota showing their hand, going, we must dismantle the whole system. It is a system of oppression. This coming from Ilhan Omar, who grew up in squalor until America received her in her bosom, and now she brings out the sharp blade. Because even though this nation gave her a home, this nation gave her opportunity, the likes of which she would never have had in Kenya or in Mogadishu. This is a woman who barely speaks English that is now a representative in Congress of the people of Minnesota. Tell me that can happen anywhere else where a migrant, an immigrant, somebody who grew up in war-torn poverty can go to that country and within a span of years become a sitting member of Congress. But is there any sort of appreciation for the nation that received her? No, of course not. We must dismantle the whole system. It is corrupt, the economy, everything. And this is the problem with allowing people into your country that don't come to your country with the desire to assimilate and acclimate. This is the problem with allowing people in your country that just want to destroy it from within. A couple days ago, I wrote an essay on my blog. And I want to read it to you because it's apropos. This was before the Rhodes Scholar known as Ilhan Omar, who married her brother, and the other twit from Michigan came out with their declarations that the whole system must be dismantled. The article was called Divided Kingdoms. I put it out Monday, the 6th of July. And it began thusly. It's one thing to have a readily identifiable enemy, an external force wanting to do you harm, or an army of marauders at the gates keeping you under siege. It's quite another when the enemy is within, plotting and scheming, using anything they can as a pretext to achieve their ultimate goal. One of the biggest backlashes I've gotten was within the last month or so, because I would not go along with the lunacy that is Black Lives Matter. I was called everything from a racist to someone who was unaware of the situation. Who are you to speak on these things? And again, this is what they do. Anytime someone, you know, pops their head out, anytime someone says anything, they attack. And they attack mercilessly. And they don't want to have dialogue, and they don't want to have debate, and they don't want to hear something as reasonable and logical as all lives matter. All man was created equal. God breathed life into every man, whether brown, white, black, or red. But that's not what they want to hear. And again, it's used as a pretext because now the dirty little secrets are beginning to, you know, boil to the surface. The dirty little secrets are beginning to come out. This is not about equality. This is about the overthrow of the existing structure of these United States. They do not want a constitutional republic. They do not want these United States to exist in the way it is. They want to transform it. Between his, ever-increasing lapses and his struggle with dementia, Joe Biden has come out and said, I'm going to fundamentally transform the country. He's taken a page out of Obama's book, and I guarantee you that was fed to him. These are lines that are fed to poor Joe Biden. I feel sad for him. He's a man suffering from some sort of disorder or another, and he's a man that should be playing with his grandkids and, you know, enjoying his life. Instead, they've trotted him out, and everyone from the media to the Democrat Party are protecting him. They're running cover for a man who, honestly, if you're going to be objective about it, has no place anywhere near the reins of power because his mental acuity cannot be trusted. But now we're seeing, and I think it's premature because this is how the other side always loses. They get so drunk on their own Kool-Aid that they begin to spill the beans on what their ultimate goal is. They get so drunk on their Kool-Aid that they begin to show their hand and actually verbally declare what it is that their agenda is. It's not about equality. I'm sorry, this is the most equal nation in the history of the world. This is the most equal nation existing today. And apparently there's this disconnect where we can turn a blind eye from children being shot in the face in places like Chicago and in places like New York and in places like Georgia, while we're still beating the same drum about one individual that died in police custody. There needs to be some semblance of balance here, kids. But as I was saying, the biggest pushback I got was when I wouldn't bend the knee, as the saying goes. Oh, how dare you now get on board? Because it's not about what they say it's about. Because every pastor, every preacher, every church that encouraged the bowing of the knee and washing miscreants' feet or some other idiot thing now has to backtrack, now has egg on their faces. Now they're going, uh-oh, these people aren't about equality. They're about overthrow. They're about ushering in a Marxist nation. Communism for all. Premature on your part, wasn't it, to take the knee and march in solidarity? I've said this, and I, you know what? I went before God as to whether I should repent of it or not, and as of yet, I've not received an answer, so I'm going to repeat it. Sometimes I think as a nation we're too dumb to exist. Even as the church today, I think we are so readily convinced of things that are not credible, are not true. We're so quick to try to pander. We're so quick to try to make the world love us that we will parrot any idiocy and foolishness. Sometimes the wisest thing you can do is nothing. Sometimes the wisest thing you can do is take a breath and assess the situation and see beyond what you're being told. Because anyone that still thinks this is about equality or civil rights, I'm sorry, you're just willingly and willfully blind. This was all a pretext. And people are beginning to wake up. People are beginning to see it for what it is, but many of them are still fearful of saying anything because the other side is real good at snipping at people's heels. It's real good at calling people's employers and having them fired or doxing them or making their addresses public and all this other jazz. And this is where we are. This is the crossroads that we find ourselves in. Will we speak the truth, even though we may receive backlash and blowback? Or will we be silent and enter into subjugation willfully? I understand. I'm in a position where I don't have a boss, where I don't work for a company, I don't work for a corporation. I have structured my life in such a way where my little tent building, as Paul would call it, provides for my family. And so I don't fear that some unwashed hippie will come and protest my office until my boss fires me because they don't want the hassle. Now, the only way that this can continue to work, the only way they continue to have success, is if enough people bow their head and continue to kowtow. The only reason that they can exert pressure on corporations and corporations fire individuals that are not in lockstep is because not enough people have gotten fed up and sick of it and said, you know what, I'll walk away. And I understand some people are not in a position to do it. They need the income, they need the insurance, whatever it is they need. But you got to realize these people are combing individuals' histories going back 30 years. I don't know if you've heard about this, and I know that I've gotten off track already, haha. But there was an executive at Boeing Boeing, the airline company. And 30 years ago, as an enlisted individual, he wrote an essay about women in combat. 30 years. They scoured the man's history going back 30 years. They unearthed this article about women in combat, and the man was forced to resign his position as an executive at Boeing. See, if there's any comfort, is that eventually these people will begin to consume themselves. They will begin to destroy themselves from within because no one is pure in their eyes. And eventually you'll have one pink-haired, overweight lesbian with a, I don't know, septum piercing that will be at the top of the mountain and declare herself the only pure, the only righteous, the only one that is beyond reproach. Because they're hacking at each other. They're destroying each other. But we can't just sit by and go, well, that's good, though. They're destroying themselves. No, because eventually they'll realize that their numbers are shrinking. And so they'll broaden the tent again. And they'll have to identify a common enemy. And guess who that common enemy is going to be once more? The church. Because if not for your intolerance, and if not for your bigotry, and not for your xenophobia, and not for your homophobia, and not for your transphobia, we would have a world full of rainbows and unicorns and non-binary individuals that don't know how to zip up their own pants. They will have to regroup and re-identify the enemy. Let me start this article again because I do believe that it's poignant. I do believe it's timely. I do believe it's necessary. But the one thing first, the first thing you need to take away from today's program is that this isn't about what they say it's about. It's not about equality. It's not about police brutality. It's not about anything other than the overthrow of the current economy, government, governance, and basically founding of this nation. Again, from the top, it's one thing to have a readily identifiable enemy, an external force wanting to do you harm, or an enemy of marauders at the gates keeping you under siege. It's quite another when the enemy is within, plotting and scheming, using anything they can as a pretext to achieve their ultimate goal. An external enemy unites the people of the nation being attacked. The people mount up a resistance, they fortify the battlements, they defend the homeland, and they push back the enemy. It brings them together, having the singular purpose of protecting their families, their homes, their nation, and themselves. When the enemy is within, it creates chaos, uncertainty, division, and clearly highlighting one's foe becomes far more difficult a task. And we are seeing that take place. Because no matter how lunatic some of the proclamations of these people are, because they either served in the military or because they did something else, they're beyond reproach. No, you're not beyond reproach. If your desire is to destroy this nation, you're not beyond reproach. You need to be called out because silence will make you a slave. You will live under the boot of tyranny. And I don't know how many people will look back on what they could have done and should have done, but chose not to do for fear or just because it would be uncomfortable and wish that they could go back. Because believe you me, living under the boot of tyranny is no way to live. If a kingdom is divided against itself, it cannot stand. The clarity of this statement is undeniable, and the fact that Jesus is the one who made this proclamation gives it all the more gravitas. Christ's assessment was definitive and declarative. He did not wax poetic as to how it would be difficult or problematic for a kingdom to stand if it was divided against itself. He said it was impossible. It simply cannot stand. Try as one might to keep it together, it is a futile task, because while a certain number are working towards maintaining the nation they love, others are working in diametrical opposition to this goal. And we are beginning to see this. The mask has been ripped off. This is a communist insurgent. Call him Marxist if you want. All the same to me. If you are trying to build a house and someone removes a brick for every brick that you lay, that house will never be completed. It's easy to grow complacent in freedom. It's easy to take liberty for granted, especially if they are all you've ever known and you've never been without. If you've never missed a meal, then it's likely that the value you place on having a full fridge and stocked cupboards is far less than someone who has. Ask anyone who grew up in communism or a totalitarian regime, and it is guaranteed they will have a different perspective than someone who regurgitates the theory of redistribution of wealth, Marxism or communism. Ask anyone who's been deprived of freedom and liberty, and it is a guarantee that the value they place on these things is exponentially higher than those who have not. Every nation that has had to endure the horrors of totalitarianism, every nation that has had to endure the blight of communism, was once free. So we need to get out of this mindset of it could never happen here, because it is happening here. Elected members of Congress are calling for the dismantling of this nation. But it can never happen. We're holding it. We know, because we're America. Well, there you go. That's what sleeping got you. That's what being comfortable for decades and decades got you. Because you know what? Those people from the 60s and the 70s and the 80s that were plotting against the government didn't just go away. They just got smarter about their plot. They realized their numbers were very small and they couldn't do anything with a handful of smelly people. And so they committed themselves that for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, they would become professors, lecturers, teachers, and they would poison the minds of the young. They would poison the minds of the next generation and teach them to hate the nation where, if you want to succeed, you can succeed. They taught them to hate their own freedom and yearn for fascism. They taught them to hate their own liberty and yearn for Marxism. And they succeeded. I'm not seeing 40-somethings out protesting and burning and looting and tearing down statues. 20-ish is pretty much spot on the average age of those burning down their own communities, of those burning down their own neighborhoods. And if you look closely, they vary in ethnicity. There's a bunch of white kids, and there's a bunch of brown kids, and there's a bunch of black kids who've been brainwashed into believing that they will have a better life under communism than they do in a constitutional republic. And this is the scary thing as far as I'm concerned, because I've mentioned this before to you, and I will mention it again. I'm a dad. I've got a 6-year-old and an almost 3-year-old. And if they don't succeed this time around, they'll just go back underground, go back to their jobs as professors and teachers and lecturers, and begin their poisoning anew. And there will be a tipping point. There will be an administration that is weak and mealy-mouthed, that has no backbone, that has no anchor in history, that will give in to the demands of the mob. And man, once the mob gets power, then you'll see what true totalitarianism is. Let's finish this. Every nation that has had to endure the horrors of totalitarianism, every nation that has had to endure the blight of communism, was once free. See, throughout history, there have been strongmen who were able to identify the disenfranchised. And once they identified the disenfranchised, they went to them and pointed to everyone else and said, it's their fault. Their fault that you don't have a mansion. It's their fault that you don't have a boat. It's their fault. It's them. Never mind personal accountability. Never mind personal responsibility. Never mind owning your actions. You couldn't help it. It's them. So if you help me get rid of them, then you can have what they have. There won't be anyone holding you back, and I'll make you an even better deal. I'll just give it to you. We'll take it from them, and you can have it. And there are people who have so completely destroyed their own lives, who have so completely destroyed their own futures, that they're hungry to hear someone say to them, it's not you. It's not your choices. It's not your lifestyle. It's them. And this is where we are. Anyone that is a member of society, a tax-paying citizen, someone with a family, because I know some of you don't keep track as well as I would, but one of the main objectives of this new movement is the destruction of the nuclear family, by the way. Because why should you have something they don't? And again, who's to blame? Of course, you are, because you have a family. You are, because you're responsible with your finances. You are, because you work hard and apply yourself. And once the strongman identifies that group, and once that strongman highlights who the enemy is, and once the promises are made, what you have is a nucleus of people who become zealots, who allow hate to breed in their hearts. Because every time they see someone that has just a little more than they do. They remember the words of the strong man. If only they weren't. If only we could take it from them, it would be you driving that car or driving that boat or whatever. And so all of these self, I guess, exalted leaders of this new movement that keep pointing to the suburbs, that keep pointing to people who've succeeded, that keep pointing to the rich even. Every single one of them is using this group of disenfranchised people to amass more power for themselves. And that's what they haven't understood yet, that they're being used. Every young person out there that's destroying their future, there were two lawyers in New York, lawyers, that graduated from Ivy League schools that firebombed the police car. But there goes your future. There goes your life, everything you worked for up until that point. Because guess what, kid? When you firebomb a police car with police officers inside it, there will be consequences, even in a lawless place like New York. But yes, oh, there's always a they. Because as long as there's a they, as long as you can pin your failures on someone else, you never have to take responsibility for you. You never have to take responsibility for your actions. You never have to take responsibility for your decisions. And this is not a black or white issue. It's far deeper than that. Let's finish this because I keep getting off track. Every nation that has had to endure the horrors of totalitarianism, every nation that has had to endure the blight of communism was once free. I repeat this because it's essential for you to understand. It is because the majority who could have excised the cancer while still in its infancy chose to sit on their hands and say nothing that fascists came to power. And once power was theirs, it was too late. Once they get control, it's too late to do anything about it because they are ruthless when it comes to silencing opposition or contrarian voices. The bones of those who would resist or dissent litter the countryside in unmarked mass graves throughout Eastern Europe, China, Laos, Venezuela, and Cuba. Just to name a few. Because by the time they woke up from their stupor, it was too late. The alarms are going off, and we keep hitting the snooze button because we're either too comfortable or unaware as to what this is all about. While others lost their livelihoods, their families, and even their lives for freedom, we are waving the white flag of surrender in the face of malnourished malcontents with vitamin D deficiencies. Most are not even willing to make their voices heard. Never mind put up a fight. We have everyone from news anchors to Hollywood has-been actors to elected officials now advocating for a system that millions fled to get away from, never once wondering why, if it's such a great thing, so many have fled communism. Yes, there have been warnings as to the future of these United States. But if we sit idly by, if we do nothing, if we say nothing, if we turn a blind eye to it all, then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. After having done all to stand, these things still occur. Sooner rather than later, at least we would have done our part to stand. If for no other reason, then because it was our duty to do so. I'm getting a lot of emails and messages from friends who are living with the mindset that this is a foregone conclusion. Well, it's going to happen sooner or later. Might as well let it happen. Why? Because it's the same people that want to survive the hard times. It's the same people that say it's a foregone conclusion, let it happen, that are stocking up food and water and guns and everything else. So do you not see the hypocrisy in the statement, oh, well, let it happen, if by the same token you're doing everything you can to prolong your survival? There are things that we can do. We can employ the same strategies that the other side is. I'm not talking about violence. But if you have an elected official, and that elected official is not doing the business of the people that elected them, pick up a phone and let them know. Shoot off an email, 2 emails, 10 emails, 50 emails, because elected officials are fearful creatures. And they respond to the squeaky wheel. That's it. These are not people with morals and integrity. For the most part, they have none. We're not talking about Jefferson and Adams and Washington here. We're talking about just leeches who saw a means of an easy paycheck, and they will pander to anyone who they think will help them get reelected. Your voice needs to be heard one way or the other. Because right now, there's only one voice crowding the amphitheater. And it's theirs. So if you're comfortable with the idea of living under fascism, if you're comfortable with the idea of living in a communist dictatorship, then do nothing. Say nothing. Keep your head down. Keep your head low. But if you're not comfortable with it, if you have children that you want to taste freedom as you have, then do something. I know it's risky. I can't demand it of you. Because chances are that if your voice gets loud enough, they will attempt to silence it. And they will try to make an example. All right, I wasn't going to get into this, but I'm going to, just for those of you that are in need of a little hope. I've gotten at least 8 emails from people that I know personally, good people, prayerful people, that see no hope for the future. They're certain that the next election will go the wrong way. They're certain that if he is able to utter the words, Joe Biden will be the one who takes the oath of office. And I had this conversation personally with a friend of mine. I said, as of this moment, I still believe it'll be a landslide for Trump. And the reason I believe this is because every single person is either browbeaten into silence or chooses not to speak up for fear of backlash. But you know when you can make your voice heard? And you don't run the risk of a backlash, and you don't run the risk of being doxxed, and you don't run the risk of someone showing up to your work? In that little voting booth, when you pull the curtain, and then you pull the lever. And so for those of you that have written me, that are saying you've lost hope and all is bleak, you should take what I just said into consideration. Because only the anarchists and the nihilists and the hedonists would want an expansion of what we've seen in the last couple of months. Because they are fearful of a backlash, because they are fearful that the person on the other line, you know, polling them will release their name to some rabid dog or another. They'll just say what the person on the other line wants to hear. But in that voting booth, it's a whole different story. So my advice to you, my counsel to you, is do not lose hope and do not lose heart. Stand in truth, because we need the truth now more than ever before. What you do to voice your displeasure at your elected officials, what you do to voice your displeasure at the inequity of enforcement of the law, is up to you. It can range from phone calls to letters to, I don't know, going and protesting your governor. But know this. For the most part in this country, there are countless souls who just want to be left alone, who just want to raise their families, who just want to go to church, who just want to serve their God. And there is a very feral, small group that would have none of it. That small group is also jam-packed with cowards. Watch some videos, kids. It's not courageous men going into battle. It's frilly sissies sneak attacking people, trying to sucker punch them. Look, I had to get into this today because, as I said, I've gotten a lot of questions from good friends. What should I do? I've got a mortgage to think about. I've got a job to think about. I've got a family to think about. But I see it. What should I do? Do what you know is right. That's the only advice I can give. But the one thing you shouldn't do is live with regret for what you could have done. Because regret is as bad as cancer. It'll eat away at you. Especially if you've got kids and you have to look them in the eye and explain to them why they have to stand in a bread line. why unelected bureaucrats can come into your home and check to see if you've got one of those books that's on the banned list. Why people who would not succeed on a level playing field are now making the rules only to advantage themselves. I can't. I cannot live with that kind of regret. And so I will continue to speak. I will continue to tell you the truth unabashedly, unashamedly, and unafraid. Be wise. Sometimes, I guess, all it takes is one brave soul. And others will see their bravery. And whether encouraged by that bravery or shamed by it, they too will stand. All is not lost. If I believed all was lost, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this. I would not be speaking to you. All is not lost. But the other side sure wants to make it seem like it. Because they know that if you lose hope, if you give up, if you throw your hands in the air and go, oh, woe is me, then they've won. And with that, I will end it early because Gino's going to play you an advert for the conference. You'll get to find out all the other speakers and how to sign up and all that good stuff. So thank you all for joining. Thank you for being with us. May God bless you. May God keep you. And hopefully we'll see each other again next week. Gino, it's all yours.
Hi, friends. Dr. Mike Spaulding here to announce details of the Go Therefore 2020 conference. This year, we will be providing a powerful lineup of scholars, researchers, authors, and Bible teachers for the equipping and edification of the body of Christ. Please note that the Go Therefore 2020 conference is an online event. This will enable you to participate wherever you live. Registration is now open at www.gothereforeconference.com. The cost for this one-of-a-kind conference is only $59. The theme of this year's Go Therefore conference is What Now, Church? What lies ahead for the Church of Jesus Christ? How must we respond to the government's reaction to the coronavirus? What must Christians do to address the so-called new normal? This year, our speakers include Dr. Michael Lake of Kingdom Intelligence Briefing, Pastor Carl Gallups of Freedom Friday Radio, Pastor Casper McLeod of Spiritual Encounters Radio, Russ Dizdar of Shatter the Darkness Ministries, David Hevner, actor and film director of The Last Evangelist on DavidHevner.tv, Coach Dave Daubenmeyer of Pass the Salt Ministries, Pastor Brandon Gallups of Redeemed Ministries Healing and Recovery Center, author and researcher Doug Woodward, author and researcher Carl Tykrib, author, evangelist, and director of Hand of Help Ministries Michael Bodea, author and researcher L.A. Marzulli, researcher and Bible teacher David Paxton, constitutional scholar and host of Samuel Adams Returns Tom Novolis, author and evangelist Preston Condra, Stephen Menking, senior editor and host of On the Objective and the Amateur Society podcasts, David Arthur of I Belong Amen Ministries, film director and researcher Tom Dunn, author and director of Omega Dynamics Jamie Walden, author and editor-in-chief of Technocracy News Patrick Wood, author, pastor, and president of Chafer Seminary Dr. Andy Woods, and of course me, Dr. Mike Spaulding. You may register right now at the conference website, www.gothereforeconference.com. The conference starts Friday, July 24th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and concludes Sunday, July 26th at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. All registrants will have 2 full weeks to watch every presentation from this year's conference. conference schedule is on the website, www.gothereforeconference.com. You do not want to miss this event. What now, church? God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Also, Michael and I will be in Michigan. It'll be July 18th and 19th. We will be at Jesus is Lord Ministries, and that is at 3000 West Beecher Road, Adrian, Michigan, 49221. I will be sharing Saturday night, the 18th, at 7 o'clock, and Michael will be sharing Sunday, the 19th, at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we will be at Jesus is Lord Ministries, 3000 West Beecher Road, Adrian, Michigan. Phone number 517-265-3864. We will be blowing the trumpet. I'm sure Michael will have a very timely message to share and continuing to warn and admonish God's people. So please be mindful of the GO conference and then our meetings in Adrian, Michigan. Also check out the website, handofhelp.com. More people are getting wind of the word and the message. Yes, it is a 100% message from God, the wake up a message. And you can see that it is coming to pass day by day. And Dimitri Dudeman was given 100% accurate message from the Lord. It's in the book, Through the Fire Without Burning, which is his testimony. Also, Dreams and Visions booklet, 35 Dreams and Visions, are on the book section on the handyhelp.com website. You can also check out DVDs, music, and CDs, as well as Michael's Boldea's booklets. And he also has a Dreams and Visions booklet with 9 dreams in it. So we thank you so much for listening today to the Light of Truth broadcast. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all leaving.